WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have Twitch Prime, well, you can click the little purple button at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free with your Twitch Prime for 30 days. But, you know, if you want to subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, or just hang out, that's fine, too. We greatly appreciate it. And if you're in a following mood, you can go over to twitch.tv/LensWard, because it did actually stream. Go me. And you can follow my content as well. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer/co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin'.
We be here, we be live across the airwaves of Wild Talk Radio Network. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lynn's Board. Or join us in the chats at WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive. Hey! Have you know, you can use creator code ROCKTALK in the Fortnite item shop, #EpicPartner.
Ding! Save this song, we're gonna need it for later purposes.
Are we?
Yeah, like when I tool around in a pickup truck.
Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's called Poppin' Gold.
Poppin' Gold. Okay, we'll have to remember that. So Fortnite Season 3, Chapter 2 is here. We're going to be playing that later after this show on Fortnite with Friends. So if you are here for the Fortnites, it is in a little while after this show, but you can certainly hang out and talk wrestling with us. I said it on the pre-show, but I'm just going to say it on this show as well. In terms of all the news that broke today, we are letting that story develop.
But I'll make one comment.
Okay.
Good on you.
Yes. Bravo. Every person speaking out and sharing their experience, you are incredibly brave and you are incredibly valid. And let's make sure that no one else gets hurt.
But let's get into the news presented, as always, by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, because we have a lot of stuff to get to. We're going to do NXT, we got Taker, and we got Backlash. So we got to get into all of it and then get to some Fortnite. So let's get to the news.
Yeah, we're trying to stay on a schedule. So we really only have one major story from this week, and it It's not the best story to report. We really were hoping this wouldn't happen. We also have a couple injuries that we have to talk about. And that is the biggest story of the week is that WWE did have a positive test for a COVID-19 case at the PC this past week for the tapings.
Last week,
for the tapings. Everybody was immediately retested. And nobody was allowed in the building until their test had come back. I believe the building was also clean, but I don't have any confirmation on that.
The building is generally clean. They have that spray and everything like that.
Yeah. So this is a little disturbing because the person was in contact with the wrestlers, with the talent. So like I said, everybody was tested. This was also a little sad because this past week on Raw, I don't know if anybody noticed, but they actually had what would be considered regular fans, so non-workers in attendance. They were friends and family of the workers that were there. They were not. And there's a lot of misinformation going on around that we want to talk about as well, because there's a lot of reports. They're saying that they were told not to wear masks, that they weren't allowed to wear them. That's not true for the most part that we can tell. Somebody actually, a reporter for one of the local TV stations down in Orlando.
John Alba. He works for in Orlando, Tampa. He works for Spectrum Sports 360.
He reached out to people that were at the PC to get information on that. And basically he was told they were never made to feel unsafe. They felt incredibly safe being there, that there were hand washing stations. All the proper procedures were being followed and addressed. They were back. And that they were not told that they were not allowed to wear face masks. And in fact, most people were like, we were going to wear them. And then we felt safe enough that we decided not to wear them.
The unanimous said they were never told that they could not wear one if they wanted to. And no one felt pressured not to wear one. Many are asking about the substance of waivers. I've heard differing answers on it. Couldn't comment. They were told to sign waivers, but that's, you know, standard. You know what you're doing. You're coming here. There are risks. You're going through the testing, the simple temperature testing, and if something happens, you can't, like, you're coming here. You know what's going on. And that's what's going to happen
basically,
for all sporting events. If they're happening, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, basically, WWE is not liable for anything that happens, which is
good.
Which is good, but that's probably going to be standard operating procedure for a while, especially as things are changing on a daily basis with this. You know, LeMans brought it up that Florida is seeing a spike in cases. Like, a lot of people, multiple cities in Florida have already basically mandated masks. I know a lot of people are upset about that.
Orange County in Florida, I believe, has...
I think Tampa did it, too.
Yeah, that's the whole general area, yeah. So, here's what happened. So, Monday, they did everything, and then it came out late Monday night. Sorry, no Raw post-show. I had no power.
Yeah, he lost power.
I lost power. I was like, I'm sitting here watching Raw, and I lose power.
And I don't have access to this Twitch.
So she went into a stream alone anyhow.
Thought about it.
She thought about it because a lot of stuff happened. Anyway, so where were we? So it came out Tuesday. They were scheduled to do next set of TV tapings. They were canceled because they tested every single person who was at Raw and SmackDown this week. All of the superstars, employees, whatever. Everyone went through the official no swab test where they take the cotton tip and they swipe your nose, and they do the test. Wednesday, they went back to work. Kevin Owens did not. That's his choice, his prerogative. If you didn't feel safe, you don't have to go to work. That's all. That's been the mandate from day one.
Yeah, can we stop?
A la Roman Reigns.
Can we stop with the clickbait articles that supposedly people are frustrated that they're not getting the same time off as Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn? They're not pressuring talent into working. They're not telling anybody. They're not telling anybody that works for that company, you have to go. You have to be there. You are completely uncomfortable with being in the location live around people, even though it is safe. You do not have to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's every work environment right now. If you are not, unless unfortunately you are essential and you're at a hospital, I'm sorry that you have to go and you have to be there. But for most other non-essential businesses, if you're not comfortable and you have to continue working, you do not have to go into your place of work. They can't make you go in. Because if they try to make you, if they try to force you and tell you, well, you have to be here. No, I don't, because there's a national pandemic on. And you're putting my health and my safety at risk.
Mm-hmm. To talk about LeMans, the nose swab thing didn't look so bad. I saw the video. Mojo put it out of him getting it done. It looked really straightforward and simple.
I think it depends, honestly, on who does it. Like, I'm pretty sure if you get somebody that's unfortunately very experienced at doing it, it's probably not that bad. But if you get somebody that has not had a lot of practice at it, it's probably a little... I mean, either way, it's uncomfortable, but it just depends on how hard they're, like, poking your brain with that swab. But, yeah, it doesn't look terrible. It's just kind of one of those things that it's uncomfortable.
It is what it is. So they went back to work Wednesday. They taped a bunch. They didn't tape everything they probably needed to all at SmackDown. So they're probably going to have to do... they probably did another set of tapings today, I would assume. But no one's reported that. There's a lot of talk. Oh, we, you know, WWE said they kept performers away from the fans, in quotation. And then everyone points out the Street Profits were in the crowd. What they meant... backstage. Everyone was separated. Did the Street Profits go into the crowd? Yes. Was that a dumb idea? Yeah, but everything's fine. So you got tested. Everyone got tested. And going forward, if you're coming into the building, you'll get tested. I don't know how often WWE is going to do it for the performers. It's just
with the with the readiness and the availability of the tests now, it's probably something that, depending on length of time, they're going to probably test more often. They may randomly test people. They may test everybody that comes to the tapings. Because they've now had a positive test, they're going to be really, really strict about how they do this and how they move forward with this until there's that level of comfort again where it's like, okay, we haven't had one in a while. So we're maybe going to let it lapse a little. But again, we don't know how this thing is going to go because, you know, LeMans pointed out Florida's gearing up to potentially be the next epicenter, which is terrifying. Arizona's ramping back up. Cases are going up here. So you're starting to see it take back over again, even though we had flattened the curve out and things were starting to look better. Now that's not the case. So we don't know what's coming down the pike in terms of the state's reopening, because a lot of those plans get put on hold with the cases increasing, and WWE could be told you can't tape anymore again, or you can't run shows with audiences again. So we don't know what we don't know, but I would suspect that they're going to be very, very strict about the testing and how they do it and that kind of thing. And it could be that they bring people in early and test them before they ever have them at the PC.
Probably, and I would assume next time it'll be an off-site location as well.
Yeah, agreed.
So there's that uplifting stuff.
Yay! Yeah, and there's no word on who it was that came to work.
It was a developmental talent. We probably will never know the name unless they come out and talk about it.
Yeah. I'm sure they didn't know that they had it, or they had the symptoms, or they were showing symptoms. They probably were not.
They went and got tested themselves, and that's when, you know, everything went.
Yeah. It's like, oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
So, but so far, everybody is fine. And like I said, people were not allowed in until their tests came back negative, and then they were allowed to come in and work. And as far as we know, nobody got sent home. Now, when they canceled SmackDown, everybody got the hell out of Dodge. But that's a completely different story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame them in the least. So,
what else is the news presented by MBG Films? YouTube.com/MBG1211.
Let's talk a little bit about the Blame Brents.
I was thinking of that injury roundup.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So this is... one of these is the second biggest story of this week, barring what happened today. Chris Statlander.
Torn ACL.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And then this one's really sad, but at Backlash, which we're talking about in the back half of the show, Edge with a torn pec.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Nobody knows.
Tricep. It was a torn tricep.
Or I'm sorry, torn tricep. Nobody knows when he did it in the match. It's very, very hard to determine. Obviously, WWE confirmed it.
Supposedly, it was on a reshoot.
Yeah, on Monday. This is really sad. This is so sad because Edge did all this work to come back. He comes back at the Royal Rumble. He works WrestleMania. He does Backlash and he gets hurt, and he's going to be out for a while, but this may be not the worst thing for him, especially since they don't necessarily have audiences right now. They have the paid audience. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to describe it. So this could be good that he's out until they can kind of get the live crowds back. and then he can come back and be in front of the live crowds again. So that could be one upside to this. Not that there is an upside, but it's just really unfortunate because he did all this work to come back. Then he comes back and he gets injured.
Yeah, it sucks.
And that's if he's even going to come back. Nobody knows if he's even going to come back.
He'll come back because he wants to go out on his own, and he's not going to want to go out being injured. He's going to want to go back.
Come hell or high water, Edge is going to retire on his own goddamn terms.
I mean, look at look at the Undertaker.
Oh, we're going to talk about that one. We are going to talk about that one. So yeah, and I just really quickly want to talk about it because we did not get to talk about it on Monday. What the hell was the Christian thing? What was that? What was the point of that? Somebody please explain. I mean, I love Christian. Don't get me wrong. I love Christian. I was so happy to see him. And for 5 minutes, I was really excited that he was actually going to get to wrestle again. Because he's another one that he got retired due to concussions. And he kind of went out very quietly. There wasn't really ever a formal announcement that he was retired. He just kind of stopped wrestling. So the fact that they were going to let him get in the ring and they were going to let him wrestle again, it's like, oh, that's awesome. That's great. You know, that Christian got better and, you know, he could wrestle again. Basically, I felt like he had Daniel Bryan did a little bit. And, like, it's 5 minutes. Randy beats him up. Ric Flair nut shots him. I'm not sure why Ric Flair was there.
Randy didn't even beat him up. He kicked him in the head once.
I'm trying to give Randy a little credit. But why was Ric Flair there?
Because he's the old veteran trying to talk out the young charismatic enigma to, you know, not do the thing. I don't know. It was good emotional storytelling because they leaked it. WWE leaked it to the news sites earlier in the day that We Would the Scars Never Heal was the first thing that got leaked. They wanted people to know about. Yes, WWE leaks things. Yes, it's true.
Call it a leak. I would call it a tease.
It was a leak.
It was a tease.
They told people to tease it. They went out of their way to tell people to tease it. So you were really excited then when he said, oh yeah, he accepted the fight. I was like, all right, cool. And then at the end you get blue balls because he didn't do anything. I was like, shit.
Yeah, the one thing that I understand they did it for storytelling purposes, but my one thing is, like, Christian has all this righteous indignation that, like, Edge got hurt, and Randy's out here running his mouth, and Randy's like, all right, you and me, one-on-one, let's fight, and Christian's like, I don't know, I have to think about this, let me think about this, you know, yada, 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 and he's backstage, and he's hemming and hawing for, like, two-thirds of the show, and then he's like, you know what, yeah, let's fight. Like, if you're really that pissed off that your friend got, you know, basically whooped and beat up and injured, you know, wouldn't you be like, yeah, let's go right now. Fight me.
But it was good emotional storytelling. That's the best.
It was great storytelling, but for me, it was just like,
You got all excited and then no finish.
They made Christian look like a pussy. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it is what it is with him.
And I know Christian is more of a badass than that. I've seen the stupidity that man has achieved.
He is, but he is also officially not cleared to do anything.
I know that. I'm well aware of that. But still, it's like, I feel a little cheated. Like, I get what it was for, but I feel a little cheated. Because we had another theory that it could be Bray.
There was one tease that would have been Bray. That would have been cool. But no, it's not Bray because he's going to be appearing on SmackDown this Friday.
Finally.
Oh, by the way, speaking of SmackDown and Raw, really quick, appears that Dolph Ziggler is going to be traded to Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
So is apparently Ali.
Okay, that's fine.
So there you go.
So when the mysterious hacker shows up on Raw, we know what's up.
Exactly.
So, all right, let's talk a little Undertaker because we had the return of the Undertaker documentary this past Sunday after Backlash technically was on demand. But I was building a deck on Sunday, so I got to watch it after Backlash. And this, I'm just going to say this. Mark Calloway is a dork. He is a dork of amazing proportions with the best fucking facial expressions I've ever seen in my life. And I love him for it.
Very meme worthy.
That man knows how to use his face. And this was a really great episode because, and Rock will agree with me on this, is that you got to see more of Mark than we've ever been allowed to see. We got to see how he is as a person, how he handles crises, how he handles a lot of different things, which was really, really cool. And also what was really interesting is that, like, right off the bat on this, where they are in the timeline is they talk about the very infamous autograph signing that Taker signed up for 4-8 that was like in conjunction with AEW, but wasn't in conjunction with AEW.
Starcast.
The Starcast signing, and how that got him in a little bit of trouble with Vince, and how basically he and Vince had a falling out. Like, he confirmed that, and they did not talk for a few months because Taker basically, as Taker put it, was, you know, he had a position that he had to defend, and he wanted to make it perfectly clear what his position on it was in terms of taking outside opportunities, because basically the whole reason he did it was he's looking beyond. He's looking at the future. He's looking to capitalize on what he has. So that's why he signed up for Instagram and Twitter. And he's been doing all these social influencing things is because he's been working with this agency to help him do that. And the frame of that is that for 30 years, he's been the Undertaker, and he's had to pass on a lot of opportunities because he felt like it didn't fit with the brand of the Undertaker. For, you know, the Undertaker to be on TV, and then he's out here shilling cars or whatever. You know, so he passed on a lot of external opportunities because it didn't fit the character. And now that he's looking post-wrestling, he feels like he can do those, and it's not going to damage the character. What?
Nothing. Keep going.
So that's kind of where that all was. I just like that, like, he's like, I love that he pretty much implied, I got an Instagram because they made me. Am I the only one that, like, picked up on that?
No. No, but you say, you know, he doesn't do anything other than, you know, his brand, and I go back to this.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway, and I want to ask you to help me with a project that I've undertaken. Go to spurraffle.com and buy.
The man is a nerd! That's so meme worthy, I love it. I'd like to point out he's doing that shirtless in a leather vest, by the way.
No, this one, this is the gray t-shirt one.
Oh, this is the gray t-shirt one? Okay, but he did do this plug, or something like this, in a leather vest. No shirt.
Yeah.
Because that's how he rolls. Anyway, so, yeah. I really enjoyed this episode. I really liked this episode. They talked about Saudi. They talked about how
Before we get to Saudi, let's talk about before Saudi, because there was other things. Saudi.
He's in Salty Springs.
Salty Springs. He's in that house. Before they got the Saudi, they talked about WrestleMania and how, well,
yeah,
he wasn't booked.
Yeah, he was good with not being on the show. He was a little confused. He didn't quite know what to do.
So
he had all this time, and he's talking about how it's like, he's like, well, you know, you go through the checklist, and on this day you do this, and on this day you do this. And he's like, I'm not doing any of that because I don't have to do any of that. So I really don't know what to do with myself. Like, he was very confused.
It was cool watching Mark be Mark instead of Taker being Taker. It was Mark being Mark doing family things. He took his daughter through Access because he's never gone, because he's, one, the Undertaker, and two, he's always working. He was doing things like that. And it was like, he was going through his day, and, you know, it's happening. I'm not on WrestleMania.
I think the best part of the whole thing was Michelle was like, this was so fucking weird. It was cool, but it was fucking weird.
And the biggest thing going on about it was he went to WrestleMania and he wasn't working. Or so he thought, because he left his gear at home. And then Saturday, after they got done Access or whatever and stuff, he got a phone call from
the old man.
From the old man, and mentioned an idea to him, and, well, Undertaker needed his gear. So he took a plane Saturday night from New York to Texas, got his gear, he had to find it, and to get back on a plane, and came back to New York on Sunday morning.
Was I the only one that was impressed that it was clean? No. I mean, I'm serious about that. Like, I loved how he's like, you know, had to go home and find the bag. It was all clean and everything, but, you know, I had to go home and find it because I didn't know where it was. And I'm like, it was clean?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's impressive, dude, that you didn't just, like, bring it home and just, like, throw it in a closet for 6 months and, you know, forget about it. That's pretty impressive. It was actually clean.
So he had to get his gear for a segment on Raw. And there was such a great moment.
Before you get there, because I should follow that up with, that's something I would totally do, is just throw it in the closet for 6 months and let it rot, and then, like, find it and regret all my life choices when I opened it. Anyway, continue.
The best part about this whole segment was Vincent, Taker, and Gorilla.
Oh, God, that was so good. That was so good.
Vince, on the defensive, right, goes, you know, I had nothing to do with what happened on Saturday. I had nothing to do with it. It wasn't me. It just wasn't me. And he goes, a pro would have brought his gear. And then Taker's response was, well, yeah, but a pro would have booked me to begin with.
And he's like, oh, okay, all right, we can go there. Okay, all right. Yeah, we also got to see Vince and Taker's relationship more. They're work married. I'm just going to say it. They're work married. It's a thing.
And then, you know, he's out there hanging with Shane, and he goes, yeah, tomorrow's going to be my WrestleMania, I guess. And did a face. And not really, you know, happy about it. But
he was really struggling with not being on WrestleMania. He was really struggling with it, especially as the day got closer. Like, up to when they left, I think he was fine. And when they got to New York and they were tooling around New York and he was watching all the action, you know, he got more and more anxiety about it. And then when the show actually occurred and he's sitting there watching the show, and Gorilla, by the way, he had a major problem with it because he's like, no, I should be out there. I should really be out there. That old drive kicked in, just a smidge.
Mm-hmm. So then... he does his Raw appearance, and then he's like, yeah, then we got this thing in Saudi Arabia, and match with Goldberg, and how, you know, it's going to be a big deal, because it's never been done before, and you can't say that right now. There's not many matches left that we could say, hey, it never happened before.
Yeah, you know, this is the first and only time this is ever going to happen. You know, how many times in your career do you get to say that? And he was looking forward to it. He was excited for it, and then the match...
Then it happened, and...
He was not happy. Goldberg was not happy. Nobody was happy, you know, with that and how it went. And
Taker brought up, you know, what you saw on my face was real. I was unhappy. I didn't like it. I was really disappointed.
And he wasn't disappointed necessarily in Goldberg. He was disappointed in the whole thing. Like, just how the match went.
Let's be real. Everyone should be disappointed in Goldberg. Goldberg is all show, no go at this stage of his career. And people need to realize this. Cannot book Goldberg anymore. He's all show, no go. He can't do anything anymore. He can't lift people up. Yeah. He may have muscle. Those muscles don't do anything.
Yeah, that was the one thing they did talk about, was not that he's no show, go no. Or no no show, no go.
All show, no go.
There we go. But was the fact that Goldberg could not get Taker up, and he accidentally dropped Taker right on his neck. And actually messed up Taker's neck and back in a match because of it. And Taker was actually very dangerously close to either being paralyzed or it being fatal based on the drop. Like, they were saying that it was centimeters away from him actually being killed in the ring because of how he fell. Because basically what happened is his head was tilted up and he landed right on his neck, like kind of almost on the base of his neck, and that's 300 pounds or however much Taker weighs, coming right down on his neck. So you had Michelle kind of talking about how that was really hard to watch, and that got to her, you know, with all the stupid crap that he's done. That was the one thing that really got to her, because that was beyond scary.
Because he also usually says, I'm good.
Yeah, and he told her that he was in pain.
He said the truth.
Yeah, he told her the truth, which is, she's like, yeah, for him to do that, that's not okay. So he came back, and I think he was a little unsure is what he said after he came back, but he had already agreed to do the match with Roman, and so they went ahead and did the match with Roman, and he enjoyed the match. He felt like it went really well. And this is where we get the interesting thing. After the match with Roman, Taker's feeling good. Taker's feeling confident.
Oh, we should mention he agreed to Extreme Rules before the Saudi event.
Yeah, he didn't want to do Extreme Rules, but, you know, but Saudi was a wake up call for him, and he realized, what am I doing? I have a wife. I have a family. I almost died, and this is now the third incident in a few years where it hasn't gone well for me. Maybe I need to think about hanging up. Maybe I need to get more serious about this. And Taker decides in his mind that Extreme Rules, that was going to be it. he was done. And you see it on his face. And what's interesting is you can see the fear on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Or the, no, I shouldn't say fear. It's really apprehension. It's a lot of, I'm not sure I'm ready to do this, but I think I really want to do it. It's like, I think I'm going to pull the trigger on this. And there's just that initial, oh shit, what am I doing moment on his face. And he goes out, he does the match.
Everything went well.
Everything went really, really well.
He felt really, really good walking around, moving.
And he comes back and they're all congratulating him, say how well it went. They're telling him everything. And that's when he looks, you know, how great he is. And then he looks at Vince and he goes, I'm done.
The quote is, I'm done. I'm not there anymore. Vince goes, all right, we can talk about it. And then they're talking. Then he goes, well, it's my body. I'm my long term. I'm going to go, get out, think. I just didn't want to spring it onto you. Well, I mean, I'm springing that on you now, but I need to evaluate. And he goes, Mark, I'll follow your lead.
Yeah. But what was interesting about this episode is there was massive levels of flirting with AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, massive, huge amounts of flirting with AJ Styles in this episode. Taker really likes him and Taker wanted him.
So when I watched it, I told Lindsay on Skype, it's Mark who cried wolf. He's the boy who cried wolf because he goes, I'm not doing it. To talking in an interview, it was like, I'm feeling good, I'm adrenaline, yada, yada, yada. Maybe I might have a couple more left in me. So it's like, I just told Vince I'm done, but maybe he changed his mind already.
LeMans, I don't know if they're going to have a rematch. They keep going back to it, so I'm thinking they might, just because of how well the cinematic went. They could totally do that. This week is the last episode, and I think everybody, at least, or I shouldn't say everybody, what I'm fully expecting is at the end of the episode, Taker either says, that's it, I'm done, and he walks away, or he says, this is going to be it. Or he issues a challenge to AJ Styles, and he says, or he issues the challenge because he knows who he wants to do it. He knows how he wants to do it. He knows how he wants to tell the story, and he wants to go out, and they're going to let him have it. So it could be he issues the challenge to whomever it is and says one more time, this is it, I'm out, let's go. I think that's what a lot of people are expecting. Now that could change because of what's going on with COVID, because I think Taker has indicated that he does not want to go back out and perform without audiences. He does want to go out with the audience. So we'll just have to see on that.
Mm-hmm.
But this final episode should be very interesting because I think it's going to be this year. I think it's the most recent footage that they shot from WrestleMania this year.
It's going to be the build to this year, yeah.
And I'm honestly very curious to watch this and see this, how that all went down, because I know he was training for something very, very different than what they did, and see how, I hope they kind of cover how they pivoted and how that whole thing happened. Also, was this the one that had all the outtakes?
Yeah, we got all the bloopers in the beginning. Yeah.
All the Taker outtakes.
Yeah.
Which were so great.
You got to see Mark being Mark and cutting it up as they were doing promos and stuff way back in the day. It was cool.
It was a lot of fun. So, yeah, definitely check it out. Undertaker Last Ride. Last episode is this Sunday, but the four previous episodes are available for your viewing pleasure now on the Patreon of the WWE Network. So with that, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking WWE Backlash. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Racker here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports.
video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight is Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support the creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's our OCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins, and you're listening to the Rap Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through.
And welcome back right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We're to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RecRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Twitch Prime sub available, well, feel free to use it here at this channel. And if not, that's fine too. You're welcome to subscribe the regular way, or just follow the channel, or just hang out. We don't mind as long as you're here and you're listening and you're having a good time. And if you're in a following mood, go over to twitch.tv/lindswar because I actually streamed, guys, and follow my channel. If we get to affiliate, you get fish butts. My internet is still crap most of the time, but I was able to stream Fortnite Season 3 when it launched yesterday. So with that, we are going to not do tweets this week because we are trying to be really, really tight on time because we want to play Fortnite. Damn it.
We're really excited to play Fortnite. So we're cutting NXT, we're cutting Fortnite. Or not Fortnite, we're cutting Tweet of the Week. Those will be back next week on the show.
Yeah, we will do tweets next week and we will talk NXT. We may do a special show, we have to see, about NXT. Because stuff did happen on it and we should talk about it, but we just want to play Fortnite.
We really want to play Fortnite. So that's a thing. But we have a pay-per-view we need to recover and talk about because stuff did happen this past Sunday on the WWE Network. It was called Backlash. So we'll talk about the pre-show had Apollo Crews retain his U.S. title, like over Andrade. you had Kevin Owens with his tie on commentary, and Angel Garza accidentally cost Andrade the match because he got up an apron. Kevin Owens didn't hit the stunner on him, and then that led to distraction, and then Apollo Crews unable to hold shoulders down correctly, but got the win and retained his title. So that was a pre-show. We really need to talk about the main show because that's where all the big stuff happened. And it started out basically for me was with match of the night. Yes, I know the greatest match of all time is at the end. Yes, but these six women who came out and started this show off had a fantastic match.
This was so good. Oh my god!
It was Sasha Banks and Bayley defending their women's tag team titles against Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross and Peyton Royce and Billie Kay. The Iconics.
I thoroughly enjoyed this. I wouldn't mind having another one of these, to be completely honest.
It was really good. I said it on Sunday, I'll say it here. Like, it was non-stop action. They kept the match moving. They kept the match flowing. Every spot where they would have to, you know, there was never a moment where it was one-on-one for a while. It was always three women in the ring at the same time, and they kept doing spot after spot after spot, and it knocked it out of the ballpark for me.
I enjoyed this so damn much. I mean, I can't help but reiterate that. Like, this was just, I love that they're taking the women's tag division seriously. I love that they've got the Iconics back on TV. They're using Alexa and Nikki again. They're using Sasha and Bayley like this, where they have them kind of going back and forth, and you have the women chasing them now. Like, I like that the titles have a level of importance to them. And I know that is partially because they can't run the storylines that they want to run, so they're going to run with this, and I'm fine with that. Like I said, I would watch this again. I have watched this again. So I'm all on board for more of this. If this is what they want to do with the women, okay. All right. I'm here. Let's go.
I'm all aboard. Sasha Banks and Bayley retained their women's tag team titles. Here's what we'll throw in a little next day. Okay. We'll make this really quick. Holy crap. That was a great women's tag team title match on NXT last night.
Oh, geez. That was fantastic.
Sasha and Bayley retained over Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart. Those four women went at it, and it was really good. It was very entertaining. I enjoyed that match. I want more of it.
I would be down for more of that again. Like I said, if this is the direction that they would like to go with the women, sign me up.
Oh, speaking of women, Io Shirai. Woo!
Oh, man. She was not happy about Sasha and Bayley being down there.
No, she was not. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Thoroughly enjoyed that. So, you know, that's your little NXT. We gave you a little bit. Any other thoughts?
No, that's it on this one.
All right, Jeff Hardy, Sheamus, go.
This feud is so gross. The match was fine, right? Like, the match was fine, because we haven't talked about it. I just... One, how long had it been since Jeff Hardy peed? Because I have to talk about this. We didn't get to talk about this on Friday, and I watched this drunk. So how long had it been since Jeff Hardy peed? Because he either has the bladder the size of a softball or larger to have that much fluid in it, or very clearly they just filled it up and like put it in there. But still, because I mean, they did. They had like what, a 550 milliliter, like a liter bottle. Or liter container filled with a very mysterious yellow substance that was more than likely apple juice. Like, they had that there. We're not talking about the puke. We're talking about the pee. There's a lot of bodily functions right now in WWE. Somebody's getting off on bodily functions again. And we all know who. Anyway. Like, so Jeff Hardy takes this thing and chucks it in Sheamus' face. There's a pandemic on! Why are we throwing pee in people's faces? It's so unsanitary and unnecessary. Number one, why are we using Jeff Hardy's past at an angle and making him take a piss test in the middle of the ring? In the middle of the ring, mind you! At least they had a little privacy screen. He didn't just, you know, whip it out right there on camera. Where the camera is just like, the shot's like just right above his, you know, Nero, little Nero. Like, I don't know what's going on there. Like, the match was the match, right? Like, it was Sheamus and Jeff Hardy. It was fine. It was good. It was whatever. But I'm not okay with this angle. A lot of levels. I'm just not. Like, I'm really happy it's Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, but can we just not with the whole throwing the pee in the face kind of... Can we just stop with the bodily functions? Can we just stop? Because fine, we'll talk about it. They had Robert Stone throw up in the middle of the ring last night on NXT. I mean, there for a while, we were in a really kinky period where a lot of kinky things were happening, and now we're going back into a kinky period because apparently somebody's getting off on bodily functions. There's only one left, and I do not need that on my television. Okay? I mean, I have seen many things in all my years of wrestling. I don't need to see that. That's that. If that happens, we're getting up into Katie Vick territory. That's all I'm saying. Okay? You're a dick. You're such a dick. Anyway, what were your thoughts on this?
Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, it's been the same since 2009. Sheamus wins.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. Tampons don't bother me.
She's a girl.
I'm a girl. I deal with them. You don't even know how gross that experience gets, okay? Unless you are a person that has to deal with that on a monthly basis, and then you understand exactly how gross that experience gets. The tampon part of that entire thing is the least offensive thing that happens to your body. Just trust me on that. If you don't know about it, if you've never experienced it, just trust me. It's the tampon or the pad or whatever. That is the least offensive part of that whole process. Your body does gross shit during that. Okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Moving on, he says.
We're talking about bodily functions.
Okay, I'm just moving on. God, Asuka and Nia for the Raw Women's title.
Speaking of, no.
That was going to be my transition, but I thought better of it, and then she just says it.
I'm the girl. I can make that joke. This was okay.
Asuka did the best she could with what she was given.
I kind of walked into this with not a lot of expectations, just because, and that's not a slight on either woman, by the way. I just didn't know what to expect, so it's like, okay, all right, I'm just going to kind of keep my expectations low. And hope for the best, hope they do really well. And this was good, this was fine. It did what it needed to do. There was no finish in this match, which was the smartest thing that you could do because they're trying to build Nia Jax up, and so you don't want to have her lose, but you don't want to give her the title, but you don't want Asuka to lose because she's your champion. She just won the title from Becky, or I shouldn't say technically she won it.
She won Money in the Bank to become women's champion.
Yeah, so she just became your champion. They're trying to build her up as a big baby face to kind of fill that void that Becky Lynch has left. And so, yeah.
So they did the rematch on Raw. Asuka got the win via quick pin.
Okay, can we just talk about that for a second? Because, like, I think my favorite part of that whole thing, right, is...
Oh, I think we lost her, chat. I think we lost her. There we go. It's beeping. I think we lost her. Trying to get her back. Maybe? I think we might have lost her. Because I'm not jumping frames. Everything's going fine here. So Monday happened. And to address LeMann's point in the chat... There we go. Now we have her. I think you're back now.
Am I back?
I think you're back now.
Where did I leave off?
You didn't get any.
Where did I leave off?
You didn't get any point out. So start from your point again about Monday.
Okay, so Monday, yeah, my internet shit, guys. Monday they do the match and they have her shove John Cone, and John Cone's gonna throw the match out till Asuka does the roll up, and then they do the quick 1-2-3, and then Nia Jax essentially gets screwed. What I love about this is WWE posts out, we're investigating this, and as soon as we find out what happened, we're going to take appropriate actions. And I'm sitting there like, okay, so per Ms. and Mrs., John Cone is in talent relations. So is John Cone investigating himself, or is it Mark Carano that's doing it, or is it somebody above them? Like, how does this work? Because per Ms. and Mrs., John Cone is in management.
I would assume Adam Pearce is the one doing the investigation.
You know, the scrap daddy, he's on that crap.
He's on it.
He's on it.
So, to address LeMann, because that's where I was getting to when you dropped out, I assume Nia interferes on Monday, leading to a triple threat match.
That's probably where they're going to go with that.
That's my thinking. I don't expect Charlotte to win the belt Monday. I think it ends in a no finish with Nia doing the run-in, standing tall.
I would hope they don't put the title on Charlotte just because Asuka's waited so long for it, and she's doing a wonderful job with it. Like, I love her as champion. I love what she's doing in general, that it would just absolutely suck if they took the title off of her.
So, we have other things to get into. Coming up in a little bit, we'll be 4-0 with friends. But right now, we're going to continue on with Backlash. Backlash! It was for the Universal Championship. Braun Strowman versus The Miz and John Morrison in a handicap match. Let's just say, hey, 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 ho, ho, was an awesome music video.
Braun won. He threw them around like rag dolls. There was a little dissension between Miz and Morrison, you know, especially as they were like, hey, I want the title. No, I want the title. No, I want the title. And ultimately, Braun was able to capitalize that and pick up the victory. There was no goddamn Bray Wyatt. Where was he?
He's in the funhouse Friday.
Somebody get him out of the funhouse, please. He's been in the funhouse. I know why he's been in the funhouse. And it's wonderful he's been, you know, where he's been. And he's been celebrating when he's been celebrating. Congratulations. But can I have him back, please?
Braun retained. The match was there. It was fine. Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley for the WWE title. Went exactly as we figured. Lana was going to come out. Lana caused the match, you know.
Okay, so this match was fine. This was good. We need to talk about what happened on Raw because of this match.
Drew retained. Continue.
Because I was sitting here like snacking on popcorn watching the drama happen. And it pretty much like everybody, I think, generally did not like what happened on Raw because it was like straight pure soap opera. But of course, my trash ass was like really excited for what happened on Raw because that's the kind of person that I am. So what happened on Raw is basically MVP and Bobby Lashley come out and they're blaming Lana for the loss. That right now Bobby Lashley should be the champion, but because she came out, she cost him the title. You know, basically she is a plague upon their house. And she needs to go. Everything is her fault. So Lana comes out and she's like, no, it's not my fault. And she's giving all these excuses. And then she's like, you know, basically telling MVP that, you know, everything was fine. Bobby was doing great before you rolled up. You're causing all the problems. You know, I've made all these sacrifices for Bobby. And I love how one of her sacrifices was that she dyed her hair brown.
You know.
Like, that's not even, like, the fact that she divorced her husband wasn't even the first major excuse. It's that I dyed my hair brown. Which then leads to Bobby basically telling her, well, you're just using me for fame. You know, you keep broadcasting, you're too busy doing your Instagram and your TikTok videos and putting our sex life out on social media. And, you know, yada, 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 yada. And that's when Lana's like, well, if I wanted to use you for the fame, I would have slept with, or if I wanted to get famous for sleeping with somebody, I would have slept with somebody way more famous than you. Ouch. And then she follows it up with, well, maybe I should have just slept with Drew. And of course, I'm just like, oh, shit, here we go. So they continue to bicker. And then Bobby Lashley is finally like, in the most deadpan, non-angry voice possible, I want a divorce. Could have put a little into that, you know? Do the whole Mr. McMahon, I want a divorce. I mean, the bar's been set on that. Been set pretty high. You know, you gotta put that in there. But yeah, so we see she's left shocked as Bobby and MVP leave, and MVP's like, yes! So much drama. I loved it. I'm so happy.
For Lindsay.
I thought about popping popcorn, but I did not have any in the house.
Oh, that's a crap quality. Anyway, continue. So yeah, that happened on Raw. And then Drew and, what's his name, R-Truth beat Bobby Lashley and MVP on Raw.
Which was a weird series of events, because every time I looked up there, it felt like there was a Drew, R-Truth angle happening.
Yep.
Like there was a promo, like I kept, like it felt like it was Groundhog Day for a second, because they were in the same exact spots, with the same exact expressions on their faces, and I'm sitting here and I'm like, didn't I just see this? Are they still going? Like, what's going on right now? Like, there were, like, three or four of them throughout the night, and every time I seemingly looked up or looked away and looked back, that was on.
Pretty much. So, it was scheduled to be the Raw Tag Team title match between the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders. Instead, it turned into a brawl in the backstage. They broke Braun Strowman's car. They found golf clubs. They had shields. Everyone was running around. We had bowling balls.
Which Bianca Belair is now going to kill Ivar because of the whole bowling ball incident.
Yeah. And then we have flashbacks all throughout. And then they're moving around. And then you hear motorcycles. And then Teams are surrounded. People on the motorcycles arrive. And Tozawa takes off his helmet. And yes, folks, we have ninjas on bikes. So
Okay, before you continue, we need to talk about everything that happened prior.
Okay.
Because one, this was... And a lot of people hated this. A lot of people hated this. Again, my trash ass loved this. So, they're fighting, right? And they're fighting around all around backstage. The golf clubs, like the Street Profits pick up golf clubs, and they're like, we're going to fight you. And the Viking Raiders come out of this back of this truck that they've been fighting in with shields and goddamn axes. And they're all four looking at each other in a standoff, like, what do we do? What do we do? And so they agree, okay, we're going to put the weapons down and we're going to keep going. So they keep fighting, and somehow Ivar finds the bowling ball, has the flashback to the bowling ball, and hits a 7-10 split right on Montez Ford. And yeah, Bianca Belair was super prompt about that one. And they're continuing to fight, right? And Montez, poor Montez, he sold that so well. But they're all fighting, like I think it was Ivar fighting Angelo. And what ends up happening is Ivar and Angelo go through a plate glass window in the front, as the front door of the PC, and shatter it. And the instant regret of every life choice ever on all four of their faces made this. Because Eric was like, oh shit. Montez was like, oh shit. And then Ivar and Angela are like, what have I done with my life? That was like the stupidest thing I could have ever done. And so they kind of pick each other up. They kind of dust each other off. They're like, okay, what do we do? How do we resolve this? And this is when Tozawa and his horde of motorcycle ninjas, that's right, I said it, motorcycle fucking ninjas, rolls up to challenge the four of them in the anything you can do, I can do better contest.
So it became the Viking Prophets against the ninjas. And they had a really, really tall ninja.
Yeah. And he's awesome. I would like if he had a name. So I know what to call him, because I'm calling him Big Swole right now. And I know that's not correct at all, but that's, I don't know what else to call him, because he is just massive.
I'm trying to remember his name, because I had it on Sunday, I forget his name. Anyway, keep going.
So, Eric, no, so what happens is they fight the first round.
Jordan,
the motorcycle.
Jordan something or other.
Okay, Jordan. We'll call him Jordan.
Because
so, right.
No one can pronounce his last name.
Jordan! So, anyway, Tozawa rolls up with the motorcycle ninjas, and the four of them fight the ninjas and Tozawa off. And they're like, that the best you got? That all you got? And so then Jordan walks up, right? And Tozawa's laughing. And my first initial thought of that is, what the hell is going on right now? And then that's when we get the Viking Prophets.
Yeah.
Because Eric's like, let me have him. Let me at him. I'll take him. I'll take him. I'll take him. And they're all like, dude, no. No. Uh-uh. No, are you stupid? They're pulling him back, right? Which is what they echoed on Raw. And that's when they do the form up of the Viking Prophets, and Tozawa and Jordan are beaten, and so they have to scurry away.
And they end up at the top of into a dumpster truck. And there's more flashbacks, and then Lady Ref Jessica shows up and says Ivar's cute and Eric not so much, and then there's moaning and groaning, and then a creature from behind sort of appears, an alligator, as they cut scene.
The one thing that made me sad about this is somebody got paid to wave a fake elevator at professional wrestlers in a dumpster, and it was not me.
Yep.
How do I apply for that job? I will do that job. If they will pay me, I would absolutely do that job.
This was so entertaining.
I know a lot of people hated this. I know that everybody wanted this to be serious, and they wanted a really good match out of this. But honestly, this was a much needed levity in not only the show, but I think just the time frame in general, because there is a lot of really serious, heavy stuff going on right now. And it should not be discounted and it should not be laughed at. But it's just in that moment where you just need a breather and you just need to laugh, just as in terms of a self-care thing. Like, you just need to step away and check your brain out for a second and just watch something entertaining. And that's, at least for me, what this was. Mm-hmm. This was just pure entertainment at its finest. I don't think it was ever meant to be anything serious. Because it's like, if you watch the skits, it was exactly like the skits. It was just extended.
And supposedly they're doing the match this Monday.
And that's fine. And it will be an absolutely fantastic match. They're trying to stretch the feud out for as long as they possibly can until it gets stupid. Because it's just, it's like they're trying to work with what they have, and they know that they have something good with this. And so they're rolling with it. Because it's one of the only things they have.
And Samojo had the lot of the night. Ninjas can really ruin a night.
Joe
remembers.
Joe knows, y'all. Joe knows.
So, you know. You know. All right, main event time. The greatest wrestling match ever. Edge, Randy Orton.
Okay, I'm just going to say something controversial. This was not the greatest. This was really, 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 really fucking good. I don't know if it was the greatest.
It was not the greatest wrestling match ever. Okay, so they had old school Charles Robinson in the blue button-up shirt and the bow tie. We had the old school MSG microphone with Howard Finkel doing the introductions, which was awesome.
Which was such a nice touch.
So, they piped in crowd noise.
Which a lot of people hated.
A lot of people hated it. There were a couple spots where it went a little too far, but overall it was fine. They went out there, had a really good wrestling match. Mark Calloway loved it. He almost shed a tear over it, how good it was.
Big softy.
They did everything. They told a story in the ring. They did impactful moves. You had some blood. You had finishers from other performers in this matchup, including the Angle Slam.
We saw the return of the Legend Killer in this match.
We had Edge. Orton hit the pedigree. Edge hit the one. He hit the Unprettier. They called it Unprettier, not Killswitch. Thank you. And Edge also hit a rock bottom. We had a lot of crossface attempts. It was a good, solid, really enjoyable wrestling match. Did they go over the top with some crowd stuff? Yeah. But that didn't take away from the in-ring stuff. The work was really good. They did everything you could imagine, and it came down to the punt. Orton brought back the punt. Punt Edge in the head. 1, 2, 3. Told Edge to be with his girls. Be with his wife. Told him to remember, tell him Uncle Randy said hello, says hi or something. You saw where Edge tore his tricep because it was bruised on his arm. You didn't see the spot, but you just saw the bruise at the end. They went 45 minutes. Yeah, they
didn't feel like 45 minutes.
Yeah, did they redo probably a couple spots? Probably, because they ruined the spots. They did it so you can get other camera angles. They tried.
There are a lot of very unique camera angles in it. Not all of them were great.
No, the stuff on the corners was not good. And some of the tie-up one early on was terrible. But it was enjoyable.
They tried things.
It was enjoyable. I mean, what do you want? It was enjoyable.
I would say that my one criticism of the crowd noise, and granted, I did not necessarily hear it because I watch wrestling on mute, is that if you're going to do the piped-in crowd noise, I kind of almost wish that they had taken the house lights down. And they had just done a spotlight on the ring. Like, that would have been, I think that would have been better in terms of with the feel. Mm-hmm. But they're limited in terms of what they can do. So the crowd noise, just the concept of having a live crowd there, and then you have crowd noise piped in over them. It's like, But if you have the crowd noise and then you have like a dark arena around them, and you know, because what you could do is, okay, so I can see it visually. Like, you take, and this is probably a shit idea, but you take the lights down, you spotlight the ring, and you have Charles Robinson in the ring in the little bow tie and everything, and then you have the Madison Square Garden mics come down, because that's what they had, and then you pipe in, and you have the crowd noise going the whole time, and you have Howard Finkel come in over the mics, and you have Edge and Orton come out, and or you have them come out, and then you do Howard Finkel, however you want to do it. But basically, just you set the scene where you're kind of almost transported in a way to the garden, because that's what they were going for. They were trying to give it that old school feel, but they didn't quite succeed. Like, it was a really good idea in theory, it was just not necessarily a good idea in execution, because they didn't have the environment for it. I kind of almost wish they had gone to Full Sail to do it at Full Sail.
Yeah, it worked.
And also, for me, everybody complaining about this being pre-taped, I'm not sure why you're complaining about it being pre-taped. I don't quite understand that. I'm not trying to call anybody out, but everybody's like, oh, this would have been so much better if it was live. Why would it being live? Like, I don't understand how it being taped makes a difference. the match was still incredibly good. Yeah, the pipe noise was the piping and the crowd noise was just a weird notion when you can see the audience. But like, I'm just not sure how it being live versus it being taped takes away from it, other than the awkward camera angles. Like, I'm not sure what that live connotation would do. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. Like, it was just a weird thing to complain about. Like, oh, this is pre-taped, so it's not as good. No, I think it's still every bit as good. They just taped it. They taped it so they could go 45 minutes so they could make sure it was absolutely perfect. It was a wrestling cinematic without it being a wrestling cinematic. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And what then pre-taping it allows them to do is go back and do the retakes. So if they do blow a spot, it's okay. All right. We're going to go back. We're going to reshoot that and we're going to just get the move a little bit better, or we're going to make it more perfect. They can edit the matches if they need to edit them, so that way they're an overall better product. It's not great. It's not wonderful, but it's the environment that they're in where now they're producing straight wrestling TV.
You watched SmackDown for 10 plus, 15 plus years taped, so.
Yeah, SmackDown was pre-taped for a long ass time, and for a while they lied about it. And we're all like, dude, we see the spoilers, we know. And then they just were like, yeah, okay, all right, whatever, it's taped. And the way that they solved the spoiler problem was they went live.
Also, Raw and the Attitude Era before SmackDown showed up was taped every other week. Anyway, I digress. So, pick 'em. Magic Wheel of Fun went 1-6. 8-Ball went 3-4. Me and you went 4-3.
Okay. Good we lost to the 8-Ball.
Huh?
No, we beat the 8-Ball.
Yeah, we beat the 8-Ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Overall, this was a good pay-per-view. Enjoyable.
I liked this. I liked where they're headed. I need Bray Wyatt back on my TV, please. So if I could have him tomorrow, that would be wonderful. But yeah, I again, Edge and Orton was really, really good. The greatest match ever? I don't know. I don't think it stands up to Taker Shawn for me. Taker Shawn 1 at 25 is kind of my top go-to, because you just go back and you watch all the little nuances in that match, and it's just beautiful. So, but this was really, really, really good.
Well, that does it for us.
That does it for us. So everybody, go get a drink. Go get a snack. Go take care of what you need to take care of, because we are going to squat up and we are going to take you in for the first Fortnite with Friends of Season 3. Where there's water and things that will eat you and marauders and shit. So,
chat.
Tune in. You don't want to miss that.
Chat, we're going to have Brent get eaten by a shark. Anyway, Saturday night, midnight, there's another edition of SuperLive.com, GreatInTheGreatDebate.com. Wrestle Talk Radio should be alive 10 p.m. Eastern on Sunday if they feel like it. Monday night, hopefully, if power's on, we'll have a month-long post at 11 p.m. Eastern. You can check out all of the YouTube content, youtube.com/RockRadioShow. We've been putting up Fortnite videos the last 2 days, probably another one tomorrow, so check that out, youtube.com/RockRadioShow. We'll be live next Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern for The Rack. We'll have a tweet a week, and then we'll see back in full next week. So there you go on that. It's Rock Radio Show on all your favorite social media platforms. It's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find The Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy a battle pass and all the brand new skins. That's #@ Epic Partner. As well as, you can, if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting the purple rectangular button right below the screen. And coming up, it's Fortnite with Friends.
Is that my cue?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. You can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at LinsWard, LNSWD, or twitch.tv/LinsWard, LNSWARD. So please go check that out. Follow, like, subscribe, do all the wonderful fun things there. Also, if you are into checking things out, check out youtube.com/MBG1211 and all his amazing content, because Matt has been producing some new stuff lately, and it's awesome. So go watch that. Go check that out. And, well, for Rock, I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Fortnite with Friends. So till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.